My story today is about age, about youth, about middle age, about old age, all in one story. I'm going to bring in some vocabulary for B1 level, talking about the countryside, related vocabulary to the countryside, and at a B2 level, vocabulary about age. So, here we go. Hello, and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbrough, and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels. For transcripts, please go to practicingenglish.com. So, for a B1 level, I've got words which I probably use quite often in my B1 stories. The nice words about the countryside or what you see when you are out of the city. For example, the sunrise, when the sun comes up, we say, in the morning. And then the opposite is the sunset, when the sun goes down in the evening. And the setting sun, and the rising sun as well, in the morning. Don't worry too much about the spelling of these words. You can find the words written in the show notes or at my website, practicingenglish.com, podcast 187. So my next B1 word is landscape. Landscape is talking about what we see when we look as far as we can see. When we look as far as we can see, we say that is the landscape. Trees, fields, mountains, woods, streams, lakes. And another word which is similar as well is scenery. Scenery. That's S-C-E-N-E-R-Y. Scenery. Which is also to talk about what we can see when we look in the distance, when we are outside in the countryside. So we have hills, which you go up. And when you go down the other side, and maybe up again, up another hill, that part in between, the lowest part, is a valley. Now, if you go into the mountains or higher up, perhaps you might see a waterfall, which is literally that, waterfall, where the water falls from a height and comes down vertically into a pool or a stream and then continues on, a stream, which is a small river. Or it could be a very big one as well. For example, Niagara Falls is a waterfall. Another thing you might find in the countryside is a cave, C-A-V-E, which is a hole, really, in the rock, but big enough to walk inside and look around. And when it's summer, then we like the cool shade. And we've got those two words in English which are interesting. They have a similar meaning, shade and shadow. Shade we talk about when we think of a place to go which is cool, which is not so hot, especially when there is a strong sun. We call that the shade. You have a sunshade when you go to the beach, so that you don't have to sit in the sun all the time. But a shadow is something different, or rather, it's the same, but it's really just the shade, if you like, made by an object. So if you stand in the sun and you look down, you will see the shadow of yourself on the ground. But we're not talking about a place to go which is cool. It is just what happens when light shines on an object. It makes a shadow. Let's go on to the B2 words. In the story, there is different phases of different ages. So age, talking about when we are young, youth, for example, our youth as a noun, youth, is when we are young. And I suppose when we say youth, we think also probably about being a teenager, that sort of age. So I have words here which describe how the person moves, he and his attitude to life. He is running and he literally bounces along, to bounce like a ball, jumping. And he feels that life is a gift, a present, and he's going to grab life. To grab, G-R-A-B, that's a B2 word, meaning to take something almost with force and take it for yourself. To grab life and make the most of it, which is to take advantage of something to the maximum. To make the most of something, we say. Then, as a person gets older, they have lines on their face. There is another word which is perhaps a higher level, wrinkles, W-R-I-N-K-L-E-S. I'll make a note of it, but it's not in my story, but that is another word we use for those lines we have on our face because of age. And also, especially men perhaps, we might have bald parts on our head. If you are bald, B-A-L-D, it means you have no hair, but you may have just a part of your head which is bald. The word mature, if we talk about people who are mature, it's a nice way of saying somebody is older, not a youth. Maybe somebody in the 40s or in their 50s. And then as the person gets older, well, the way he walks is the way he moves, or she moves, is different, isn't it? And in the story, it talks about his body was curved and bent. Curved and bent are really quite synonymous. They mean that the body leans forward because you find it difficult to stand up straight. And the way you walk is slow and clumsy. Clumsy, C-L-U-M-S-Y. Which means you do not walk in a very controlled way. So you find it difficult to put one foot in front of the other, and maybe you might fall over, clumsy, not in control of your actions. There's another word as well, which is awkward. That's A-W-K-W-A-R-D, which is like clumsy. It's to walk in a way which is without control or not much control. And I have another B2 word here, which is to struggle. So if you think of an elderly person, elderly, that word elderly, which means old, is a nicer way, of a more politically correct way, elderly. In my story, I talk about his old legs struggling to make the final steps. So it means it's difficult. He has to use a lot of effort. He struggles. We can talk, again, another nice term to talk about people who are elderly is to be advanced in age, an advanced age. Right, those are words and expressions for you to listen out for during the story. And enjoy the story, and here we go. The River by M.A. Bilborough. This is a B1 and B2 level story. Copyright M.A. Bilborough. It was just after sunrise, and the sun had just come up over the snowy mountain range in the distance, the different shades of purples and greys across the landscape were transformed into pinks and greens as the yellow light danced over the hills and valleys below. The dark mist, which had been lying in a deep sleep close to the ground, further down the mountain, now awoke and turned on itself. As if by some magical force, it stretched upwards and now changed into that pinkish colour and vanished into the cold morning air. With the rising of the lemon-coloured sun, those magnificent greens of our world became brighter and brighter. That young, rich grass, which never grows higher than a few centimetres in high mountains, lay like a perfectly laid carpet over the scenery that was spread out below. As he stood there like a rock, Tim could now see enough to associate the sounds around him with the features of the landscape. The loudest of these was the waterfall, whose sparkling waters tumbled out of a tiny cave behind him and splashed onto the soaking grass, forming a winding stream that snaked its way downwards. However, there was another sound that came from above, yet was impossible to locate exactly. Tim recognized the continuous merry call of the skylarks, singing out to the arrival of spring and the birth of new life on earth. Tim looked back at the stream. He realized he had no choice but to follow it. Firstly, it meant he would never get lost. The stream always ended up somewhere, always found a destination, somewhere worthwhile. It had a purpose. Secondly, Tim had arranged to meet up with some friends on the banks of the great river, which lay far below, close to the ocean. When Tim gazed into the distance, he thought he could just make out a pale blue area between the land and the sky that must be the sea. Tim pushed his body forward so he was no longer stiff like the rock he came from, and began to run over the soft ground. The stream was so narrow here, he could easily jump from one side of it to the other as he headed down the mountainside. He bumped against large rocks as he ran, bruising his arms and legs, but careful not to squash the delicate crocuses, daffodils, and other spring flowers that were growing in his path. He felt he absorbed energy from the stream. Youth was on his side as he almost bounced along. His strength was unlimited. He knew where he was going. He was in control, convinced of a successful future, alive and fierce. He had no worries or fears. Life was a gift which he would grab for himself and make the most of. Eventually, after almost an hour of running, he had to stop, and he leaned against a pine tree to rest, the sweat pouring from his face. The sun was warmer now, and Tim was grateful for the shade of the trees which were all around him at this height above sea level. Tim then bent down and cupped his hands to take handfuls of icy fresh water from the stream. He drank noisily. He now felt better, but when he set off again along the banks of the widening stream, instead of running, he walked. The flowers had disappeared. The grass was browner under the hot midday sun. Despite the cool shade of the pine trees, it was not long before Tim had to rest again. he came across a shallow pool, which reflected an image of his face, as though it were a mirror. He knelt down. It was then he noticed for the first time the lines around his eyes. He raised a hand to the side of his head and felt a bald area where once there had been rich brown hair. When he stood up straight again, a long, strong stick drew his attention lying among the leaves. He picked it up and tested its strength by gripping it hard with his hands, and decided it would provide him with support when walking across rocks and rough ground. The pine trees were fewer here, and great dark green oaks took over the landscape. Tim was no longer following a stream, but a slower-moving, mature river. Still, the water was transparent enough to see large fish of some kind in its depths. The heat of the day had silenced the birdsong, and instead the sound of insects filled the humid air. It was a time to think back on his past life and ask himself if he had had any regrets. Of course, there had been. His marriage had been a disaster. The divorce separated a family of four and had left the children lost and confused. His life had been a disgrace. However, he had now figured out that living alone was the best option for himself. And he now enjoyed an inner peace, if not total happiness. The trouble with following the banks of the river was that as the river neared the sea, it wound in long curves and bends, which meant that Tim found himself walking back in the opposite direction for some time before turning around once more in the direction he wanted to go in. The plants and trees grew thicker here too, so progress was slow. Tim felt relief then when he came to a wooden bridge across the river that would shorten his journey. As he walked across the boards, he heard his own steps and how they sounded slow, clumsy, and tired. He saw his body was curved and bent, so he put more weight on the wooden stick he still held. Then he stopped and leaned awkwardly on the side of the bridge to take the strain off his aching feet. He looked around, cautious of these unfamiliar surroundings, afraid of this lonely and remote place. But before he set off again, Tim looked down at the river, and the face that looked up at Tim from the muddy waters was older than he had expected. His hair, now grey, was rather long and untidy. Surely if he had it cut, washed and combed, he might look younger. Never mind, not far to go now. Sometime later, the path led to a small, peaceful village at the river's edge. There were no roads as such, just dirt tracks, no cars, but occasionally he passed somebody walking with a mule or donkey. They smiled and raised a hand in greeting. It was then he saw the cafeteria. He had not been able to see it earlier due to the strong light from the setting sun shining almost directly into his eyes. There were some tables outside, empty except for one. Three elderly gentlemen with white beards sat around it drinking tea. Their long shadows reached out towards him. One of them saw Tim and said something to the others, so they all stood up, their gaze and smiles upon him. Tim approached them with difficulty, his old legs struggling, to make the final steps. But he got there and dropped his stick as he put his arms around his friends, friends who had faithfully stood by Tim throughout his life, or since his school days at least. His friends invited him to sit down at their table, and Tim accepted gratefully. They offered him tea, and Tim drank, his long journey now over. Tim realized that despite his advanced age, despite reaching the autumn years of his life, he was happier now than he had ever been. Not far away, the dark river runs on, although so slowly you can hardly tell the water is moving at all. But if you look closely, occasionally you might see a fallen log from an ancient decaying oak tree float gently by, its journey almost at an end as it draws near the waiting ocean. And that is the end of my story. I hope you heard the words that I mentioned at the beginning. Until next time, goodbye for now.